This drash will feed us this morning and prepare us for this time of communion and sharing in the Lord's table. So as we prepare for communion, I want to remind us that we are sharing a meal with God. Isn't that cool? We're sharing a meal with God. You know, I love the passage in Exodus 24. Remember this passage where God tells Moses to climb to the top of Mount Sinai and take with him Aaron and his two sons and the 70 elders of Israel. And they climbed this, you ever climb a tall mountain? Well, they climbed to the top. And when they got up there, guess what happened? It says they saw the God of Israel, and his feet were on this pavement of sapphire that was as clear as the heavens. And then it says, in his presence, they shared a meal. How many of you would like to have been there? I mean, that's pretty cool. And as good as that is, there's good news for us. You know, under the Mosaic covenant, it was only the privilege of a few to have that experience. But in the new covenant, it's the privilege of all of us. And why is that? Any guess? Because of Jesus' sacrifice. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, he says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a communion in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. In other words, we all can have communion with God and one another because of the sacrifice of Christ. The writer of Hebrews said it this way, Hebrews 10. Therefore, we have confidence to enter into the holy place by the blood of Yeshua, who opened up for us a new and living way through the curtain, that is, through his own body. So before Jesus' sacrifice, the only person who had the privilege to do this could only do it how often? Once a year. And who was that person? The high priest. But because of Jesus' sacrifice, all of us are able to pass through the curtain into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. Now, we at New Heritage, we're not super big on symbols, but we're getting better. And so we have some this morning, and Michael, you've already done a good job of introducing this. We have some symbols that remind us of the tabernacle. So as Michael already reminded us, this reminds us of the what? The curtain, the veil, and we know it's been torn. That's why we have it lifted up this morning. So we have the curtain. We have the table of showbread, which is also called the bread of his presence. We have the menorah, compliments of Harry and Cindy Pressman. There it is. Stay in there. Yeah. We have the menorah, the candelabra. But there is one piece of furniture missing, and here's the clue. Now, think about something that you love to smell. You know, think about, you know, how many of you like the smell of coffee in the morning wafting upstairs, especially if it's Starbucks, you know? You don't like Starbucks? Okay. How many like the smell of cookies baking in the oven? How about banana? I love banana bread. Oh, come on. Andrea makes the best banana bread. I miss your banana bread, by the way. What else? What else? What other smell do you love? Fresh bread?
Fresh Italian bread.
Italian bread? How about challah? Yeah, any other smells that you, aromas that you love to smell? What's that? Basil? Okay. That's okay. You can still go to heaven if you like basil. Cinnamon. Yeah, cinnamon. Okay. So there are aromas that bring us pleasure, but there's one aroma that actually brings pleasure to God. I heard somebody say it. What is it? Incense. So here's the question. Why would incense bring God pleasure? Well, by the way, here's the tabernacle. There we go. Oh, wait, and what was missing? Okay, here's a picture of it. The altar of incense, where the incense is burned. And there it is in the tabernacle. So, in Exodus 30, tells us about the golden altar and the incense that was to be burned continually upon it. And the altar of incense is where? It's in the tabernacle. But what's room in the tabernacle? The holy place. What's the other one called in the very rear? That's the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. Okay, so the altar of incense stood within the tabernacle, just outside the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. In 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 5, we read of the importance of the offering of incense. The house which I am to build will be great, for our God is greater than all gods. But who is able to build him a house in heaven? Even the highest heaven cannot contain him. Who am I to build a house for him except as a place to burn, what? To burn incense before him. So why incense? Why incense? Good. There you go. All right. Well, that's true. But let's back up before that. The first, the most important reason why they were told to burn incense is because God told Aaron to do it. How many of you know if God tells you to do something, you better do it? So God told Aaron to do it, to burn incense day and night, 24-7, on the altar. Exodus 30, verse 7 to 9. Aaron must burn fragrant incense on the altar every morning when he tends the lamps. He must burn incense again when he lights the lamps at twilight. So incense will burn regularly before the Lord for generations to come. Now, the Hebrew word for incense, can you read that word? That's right, ketoreth. A contemporary translation of the word ketoreth would be something like perfume, or for you men, cologne. How many of you men wear cologne? Just a couple. All right, we've got a few. How many of you women wear perfume? How many of you wear incense? Yeah, okay. But that's the word. Now, biblically, it's translated as this: sweet smoke of sacrifice. Sweet or fragrant smoke of sacrifice. For example, in Isaiah 6, Isaiah has a vision of heavenly worship. What did he see? Isaiah 6 says, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings, and one called to another and said, Holy, 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 kadosh, kadosh, kadosh is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his shekhinah, his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with what? Smoke. Now, what happened when the seraphim shouted, Holy, holy, holy? The house was filled with smoke, ketoreth, incense. Now, we were singing that song this morning, Calling All Angels. I like that song. Now, does anybody know what a seraph is or a seraphim? Seraphim is plural for seraph, and seraphs were angels of the highest order. Now, I'm not sure what they looked like, but this doesn't do a bad job. And wouldn't it be cool if some seraphim showed up in our worship? It did for Isaiah. Why not for us? Come on. Anyhow, so, but you still may be wondering why incense brings God pleasure. Now, Andrew, you gave it away, but we'll read it. In Revelation chapter 8, another angel who held a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to mingle with the worship of the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the worship of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. So why does incense bring God pleasure? Andrew, you said it brings him pleasure when it's mingled with the praise and worship of God's people. In other words, when we worship, it is like incense rising up to God, a sweet smoke, a sweet fragrance that brings God pleasure. How many of you want to bring God pleasure? But something else happens when we worship. A transformation takes place. Now, this is cool. We begin to smell like Christ. Now, many of you go to great pains not to smell. That's probably why most of us, if not all of us this morning, have worn deodorant. But there's one smell that we don't want to hide. What smell is that? It's the fragrance of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph. And through us, everybody say us. Everybody say me. Spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere, for we are the aroma, the incense of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to one a fragrance from death to death, and to other a fragrance from life to life. That is to say, we become like incense exuding the aroma of Christ to God, even as we become the aroma of Christ to man. That's the transformation that takes place. How is this possible? What makes all this happen? It's because of Jesus' sacrifice. Now, I don't know if you ever saw this verse before, but it will make sense in a new way. Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. He loved us and gave his life for us as a sweet-smelling fragrance, incense, and sacrifice. That does what? Pleases God. Jesus is our incense, a sweet-smelling fragrance, and sacrifice. That pleases God. So just as the menorah, you all see the menorah? That speaks of the, points to the light of Christ. As we have the matzah, the bread, speaks of the bread of, or the body of Christ. So the incense, here's our altar of incense, got a little altar here, speaks of the, points to the fragrance of Christ, a sweet smelling fragrance that pleases God. So, to conclude, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, this time of communion, this meal with God, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So, first thing, we want to remember that Jesus is our incense to the Father, a sweet smelling fragrance and sacrifice that pleases God. Secondly, we want to remember that we are the incense of Christ, spreading the fragrance of the knowledge of him wherever we go. And finally, that we are the aroma of Christ to God, incense that brings God much pleasure. And who knows, as we let the incense go up, maybe, just maybe, some of the seraphim will show up. So here's what I want us to do. We're going to do something we've never done here before, and we're praying there are no smoke alarms. Now, how many of you know there were no smoke alarms in the tabernacle? So I'm trusting there's no smoke alarms here. Now, as we do this, we're going to pray this prayer that David prayed. We'll pray it in a moment. But let's see if this works. Come on. There we go. This is frankincense from Jerusalem. It's the real deal. It's working. How many of you like the smell of frankincense? I love it. You know, I remember when I was a young believer, I went to a Catholic mass, and then when the priest came out, they were like, and like all this stuff was coming out. Like, what is that? You know, like, I had no idea, but it smelled good. Now I know. Okay. So, okay, let's stand. And let's pray this prayer together that David prayed. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the morning sacrifice. Yes, Lord. So, Lord, we do thank you this morning that you are our incense before the Father, that you are the sweet-smelling fragrance, a sacrifice that has pleased the Father and makes us pleasing in his sight. Lord, we thank you this morning that we are pleasing to you. You have made us to be the aroma of Christ unto God, unto the Father, a fragrance leading from life to life amongst those who are perishing and amongst those who are being saved. So Lord, we ask this morning as we celebrate this communion meal, Lord, we thank you that we have this meal in your presence, Lord, that you are here and we share this meal with you as your friends, as your family. And we ask, Lord, that you would manifest your Shekhinah, your presence, that even your angels would dwell among us. Lord, that we would just sense your glory, your beauty. We would behold the God of Israel, the glory and majesty of God, as we break this bread together, share this meal with you and one another, communion with God and man. In Mark chapter 22, it says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, Paul reminds us that whenever you eat of this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, that he may come. Reminding us that the Lord's Supper not only points back to the Last Supper, but points forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb, when his kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. So if we could, let's join hands together and pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us for what we have done wrong, as we forgive those who have wronged us. And help us not to yield to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. If the servers could come forward, please.